Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. Just to let you know that this show is like none other that you're probably ever going to hear in Christian media, because it's not about anything except for what the title says, and that is real life. My real life, your real life, every believer's real life. And what is that? It means the everyday struggle of humanity. It means wondering if I'm going to have enough to make it to next week. And not only wondering, but how am I going to make it there with some semblance of peace in my soul and at the center of my life. And it goes beyond second level Jesus for me Christianity. And the way I define Jesus for me Christianity is, if you look at a baby in his crib, he's looking for everything that is about him. He doesn't care, and I know this for a fact, because I have five kids, and they were all babies at one time, and they don't care what time it is that you have to go to work. They don't care if you're sick or if you feel good. They don't care about anything having to do with you, because their life is all about them. And that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. They're called babies. So when I talk about a Jesus for me Christianity, I talk about a Christianity that has not moved into maturity. It's still all about my salvation, my blessing, my future vision, my ministry, my goals. And to be perfectly honest, there is no such thing as a Christianity that looks like that. The only Christianity there is the Christianity that has as its foundation Galatians 2:20, which says, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the only Christianity that exists. Everything else is a fable. Everything else is a product of what Paul calls in Galatians 1 and 2 Corinthians 11, the different gospel. And he says, see to it that you don't listen to the people that are proclaiming the different gospel, because it isn't a gospel. He says it's no gospel at all. And he goes on to say, it's a perversion of the gospel of God. And we know that the word gospel means good news. So there's a perversion of good news out there. And what it is, it's a counterfeit. You see, spirit realm, and in this realm of appearances, it's a parallel world. And what's going on in this land of appearances is going on in the spirit. Only what's going on here is a perversion of the reality of the unseen. That's why Paul says we look to what the things that are unseen and not seen. And it talks about Jesus being the invisible image of the Father, unseen, the unseen kingdom. When Jesus was facing his accusers, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's not of the seen. You can have this kingdom of appearances, he was saying. My kingdom is in the unseen realm of the spirit. That's where my Father is. That's why I'm listening to my Father and I'm not listening to you. When he stood before Pilate, Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And Jesus didn't go into a debate with Pilate. He simply said, you wouldn't have any power if it wasn't given to you from above. So God giving Pilate the power to carry out the sentence that would nail him to the cross in the most brutal death that humanity could endure during that time, and even today, being crucified, which is a criminal's death, and all power, Jesus said, came from my Father. He didn't acknowledge a devil that was taking him to the cross. So what do we look at in our life when we endure that same trauma? The trauma of learning that, you know, the simple things. Let's just talk about the simple things. Let's not talk about the life-threatening things. Let's talk about the simple things, like how are you going to pay the house payment? Okay, I'm not talking through mere head knowledge. I'm living it right now. It's real life for me. It's real life for me to carry around in my body, in my everyday life, the concerns of how I'm going to make it. That's okay, because I have to start out with how it looks. I have to start out with appearances. That's the way God created me. But then when I look at the reality of it and I look into the unseen, I see God. Our wonderful ministry partner, Joan, said to me a few weeks ago when I was in the pit and I was going through it, she said to me, you know, Rich, either we're looking through Christ like he's transparent to the thing that we're worried about, concerned about, thinking about, or we're looking through that thing, it's transparent, and we're seeing the immovable and unshakable Jesus Christ in all things. Colossians 1:15-20 talks about Jesus. Read it. Not only read it, but prayerfully read it and meditate on it. See what it says. See how many times you see a devil in there having any kind of authority over man. See how many times in there you see anybody casting out demons or looking for a demon under every rug. Let me tell you guys, you keep looking for demons, you're going to find them. That's simple, okay? Because what you focus on is what you get. As a man thinketh, that's what he gets. But if you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you're going to get more of a deep revelation of him as being the all in all. On a site right now, I'm catching hell for saying that. But you know what? It's the truth. But religionists don't want to let go of their other master. They've been serving him for so long without even knowing it, that they can't let go of them. They can't let go of the fact that there's this black dog, white dog battle going on between God and Satan. And sometimes God wins the battle, and sometimes Satan wins the battle. And it's almost like they're equal in power. And that's as far from the truth as anything. Like Steve Brown used to say when I listened to him years and years ago, that's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. That's not true. Satan is an angel who decided that he was going to take the place of God. And God dealt with him. Okay? And because man decided that he wanted to be like God, God allowed man to have his way. And the ultimate one that wants his own way is the one that they kowtow to without even knowing it. we're filled with the spirit of light or we're filled with the spirit of error, depending on where our focus is. Where your heart is where your treasure is. So Satan is defeated. He's defeated from the foundation of the world because Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. There is no powerful devil running around that Christians have to cower from and try to find under every rug. He was defeated. The Bible says he was stripped of the keys of death and hell. Those were the two things that he had. He had death and he had hell. Where, O death, is thy sting? You ever read that in the Bible? So the devil is just an angel gone bad, and he has about as much power and about as much influence in the true believer's life who knows who he is in Christ as a flea on the butt of an elephant. And probably less than that. And he does nothing in his own independence. Everything he does is by God's doing. And he's there for one purpose. He's God's dog on a leash to grow up the church. That's it. Because the church grown up is going to change humanity. The church grown up is going to affect change in our culture. The church grown up is the only hope for mankind. Jesus didn't come to make converts. He came to make disciples. He came to make students after himself. And every one of those, that motley crew that was with him, those 12, those unlearned men, who started out only thinking about themselves, every one of them ended up knowing Christ in that exact same way. Every one of them. And so today, the church is facing devils. And when you chase after devils, you get to chase after more devils. Because what you focus on, you get more of. You focus on fear, you get more fear. You ever heard of that passage? That which I feared the most has come upon me? Because God designed man to serve and worship one God at one time. Read Matthew 6:22-24. Read Matthew where God is talking about the one that has the single eye is full of light. And the one who has the evil eye is full of darkness. And how he uses the word evil instead of double as the opposite of single. Last time I looked, double is the opposite of single. But what God is saying for those who have an ear, a spirit ear, a mature spirit ear that's no longer hearing or seeing in separation and division, God is saying, if you see me only in all things, that's exactly the way I created you to live. No other way. And then if you look at the next two verses in Matthew, and after that, then he talks about the two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Well, I think the reason he put mammon there is because that's what men serve most. But you can't serve God in your ministry either. And you can't serve God in your family either. You can't serve God and anything. Because he is the all in all. And when you serve him, you serve everything else. Everything falls in line when you look to Jesus alone as the author and the finisher of your faith. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the reason it is because you can't focus on two things at one time. It's an impossibility. God didn't design us to live running after two things. That's called schizophrenic Christianity. Well, that's what most of the church looks like today. And if you don't believe me, there's a passage in the Bible that says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. And listen, guys, you need to know this. Every reference in the Bible is to the church. The pagan unbelievers who are living for themselves today and want nothing to do with God, this is not for them. They don't care about God. They don't care about religion. They don't care about Christianity. They're living for themselves. These passages that we read, that the church has lied to us to tell us it's about the unbelievers, because it's not about believers in Christ. A long list of, in Timothy, lovers of self, boastful, proud, arrogant, disobedient, haters of what is good. That's to the church. That's not to the world. The world's not listening to God. And so when you see with a single eye, when the Bible says your eye is full, your whole body is full of light, because you're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher. And if he's the author, that means he began the faith that you're walking in. And if he's the finisher, it means he's the end of the faith that you're walking in. And he is all points in between. Which is why there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life is only in Christ Jesus. That's why this ministry is called Rich in Christ. It isn't about me. It's about you. You're rich in Christ. But you're not rich outside of Christ, because you're not outside of Christ. You're in him. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the single eye of seeing the Spirit of life, one, has made us free from the law of duality and seeing more than one, sin and death. We can't focus on two things at one time. If you think you can serve your following, or you can serve your mega ministry, or you can serve your identity, or you can serve your reputation and serve God, you're mistaken. You can't. You're what Jesus calls a house divided against yourself. And a house divided against itself has to fall. There's no stability. That's called single eye believing. So he goes on in Matthew 6, 25 and 26, and he says, look at the birds of the air. I wrote an article yesterday nobody got. I guess it was for me, and that's okay. But I called it A Tale of Two Barns. And it's about the parable in Luke where Jesus said the rich guy who had all of this stuff and had even more than he was able to store, tore down his barns and built bigger ones. And if anybody doesn't know, that's the place where Jesus says, you fool, his soul will be required of you this night. And the next thing he says, and who's going to own all of your stuff when you're gone? In other words, your value is not where my value is. You're serving something that I never called you to serve. And if your storehouse is the book sales, or your storehouse is your next conference, or your storehouse is some other marketing tool that you're using to sell God, then you fit right there in that category, like it or not. And it's a tale of two barns. The second barn is is in Matthew 6:25. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor store away in barns. Jesus is saying, you don't place a whole lot of value on yourself, do you? Because you're sitting here building bigger barns so you can have a future and a hope. So you make sure you don't run out. You didn't believe the story of the manna at all. You're not living by manna life. You're not living by the bread that comes down out of heaven. You're living by the work of your own hands. And it's an abomination to me. It's like trampling underfoot the Son of God and counting as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant and insulting the Spirit of grace. He said, look at the birds of the air. They know their value. They know that I'm not going to abandon them. They know that they can fly in the day and they can eat in the day. And the next day they can fly in the day and they can eat in the day. They're not stressing about where their food's going to come from or how their bills are going to be paid. They don't store away in barns. And here's the kicker right here. Church, you need to listen to this. Even if there's one person that hears this. Because, you know, few there are that find it. Fewer there are that find the gem that God is sharing with you right here. Not because of me. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. This is God's radio show. And I pray to God that more people get to it. But if they don't, that's okay. But this is the gem right here. Are you not much more valuable than the birds? Now, the guy who doesn't have a relationship with God, who's a poser and a pretender, and lets everybody know how spiritual he is, and is eloquent in his speaking and his writing, that he's got his barns filled for the future. He doesn't have any reason to walk by the faith of the Son of God. He doesn't have any reason to walk by faith and not by sight. He's got it all planned. That's why I hate the tithe so much. Because the tithe is the mechanism to keep the monster fueled and moving. And the monster is the organized church where the pastor who doesn't know God from a doorknob because he's never lost anything in his life that's really losing to gain. You know, Paul said, I'm speaking like a fool. But you know what? I was beaten. I was lashed. I spent the night and the day in the deep. I was shipwrecked. I was in danger from my countrymen. I was in danger from this, that, and the other thing. And he said, but you know what? I came to the conclusion, I count everything as loss in comparison to knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my life. And that's what the losing to gain life is about. That's why trauma is introduced. The only reason that trials are introduced is for us to go from looking at the trial to calling it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when you face difficulties. Because perseverance is at work. And perseverance is the Spirit of God carrying you from one day to the next and allowing you to come to that place where you see you lack nothing. And that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Isaiah 41:20. That's what the whole Christian life is about. It's no longer I who live. So when you're storing away in barns for yourself, you're not the grain of wheat that has fallen to the ground and died. You don't have the opportunity for that new life to spring forth, to produce the 30, 60, and 100-fold return because you're living for yourself, and all you're thinking about is yourself. Even if it looks completely different. Because the litmus test of the mature man or woman is not the fact that he can talk about his oneness. The Buddhists do that. Jim Carrey talks about oneness all the time, yet you'll never read anything about the crucified life in his story. Okay? The litmus test is what the foolish ones who are perishing are avoiding, and that is the message of the cross. Period. That's the litmus test. That's the thing that says, am I walking in real maturity? Am I embracing the life that says, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me? And I don't walk by a temporal, human, wishful thinking kind of faith, but I walk in fear and trembling by the faith of the one who is living his life out in and through me, because that's the only Christianity that exists in the heart of God. And that's why I wrote the article the other day called Today is the Day. Because God doesn't see a future or a past. He's appointed another day, it says in Hebrews 4:7, calling it today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. There's no yesterday in Christ. There's no tomorrow in Christ. Not as far as we're concerned. We're like the birds of the air. That's what we are. That's why he wrote that. That's why that's in the Bible. Matthew 6 is all about exposing the lie of Christian self-preservation. And insulting the Spirit of grace. That's what Matthew 6 is all about. Guys, this is the real stuff. My wife's going to be going to the doctor today for her third set of injections in her eyes. She's lost a good share of her vision for diabetes. And it's something real that we're dealing with today. Why is it I'm not hearing these leaders of men? Well, I'm not going to name any names. You just think of who they are. Even on Facebook. Why aren't I hearing these leaders of men going beyond the status quo BS and opening up their lives, letting God split them open and laid bare, like it says in Hebrews? We are open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. What are they hiding? Why aren't they coming out and sharing with them? That's a question I'm going to leave with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for this day. And I ask, God, that you open the eyes and the ears of the people that are listening to this today, that they might know the truth of who they are in Christ. Guys, I've got a devotional right now. Having kind of a hard time getting them out. But if you want a free copy of my 31-day devotional, go to Rich Novek on Facebook, N-O-V-E-K. Give me a private message with your address, and I'll send you a free copy of my 31-day devotional about the deeper things of God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Guys, this is Rich in Christ, Real Life with Rich in Christ. And I'll catch you again next week. God bless.